55. I want you to just know that being a Christian is not always easy. It comes with a lot of responsibility that we don't answer in the way that we would think. Well, maybe we used to answer people, like we talked about that this morning. But I want to talk to you tonight. And then Psalms is probably one. It is to me is one of the most heartbreaking chapters, I would think, in at least in the book of Psalms. It is a song written with from an experience. From David is a betrayal of a friend, and we've all have grown up, whether we've grown up with being close, we've all grown up in elementary, we all can think of a friend that we buddied up with during school. You can think of someone in junior high, we can think someone in high school, maybe college, maybe military, maybe neighbors, whatever it may be, and in church. And we know that when we're growing up, we know that we're going to, as we now that we are most, as we are adults, we go back and we look at some of those things as being trivial, some of those things as just growing up. Your friends have changed since junior high and high school for the most part. I want to share tonight a little bit because I want to tell you that in ministry, and as a Christian, walking in this world, there's going to be times in your life where, and I hate to say it, but there's going to be times in your life where you're just going to feel like the walls are just coming down, okay? And we're going to talk about this piece here tonight, so I'm going to break this down in bite pieces, and we're going to wrestle through them, and we're going to look through this Psalm 55, okay? So he says in verse 1, God, listen to my prayer. There's something when we do, when we get to talk to God, sometimes we want to say, God, we want to act like we need to shake God. Listen, God, listen to what I've got to say. Listen to my prayer. And do not ignore my plea for help, because our passion comes out. When our pain is in us, our passion comes out through our words. And we say, Lord, listen to my prayer. Do not ignore my plea for help. Pay attention to me. Pay attention, God. Pay attention to me and answer me. I am restless and in turmoil, and I have a complaint. I've got a complaint. Now I want to tell you, even though it sounds a little rough, he's doing the right thing. He's taking it to the Lord. Amen? He's taking his complaint to the Lord. Now, there are times when we're going to take our complaints to other people, but I'm telling you, there's nobody that you need to take your complaint to more than the Lord Jesus Christ. And he takes his complaint there, and he says, I want you to listen to what I've got. I've got something to say, and I've been through something, and I need some help. And he pleads out, and he gives it to God, and he says, this is my opening statement. Here it is, Lord. I have a plea. I need some help. I've got a complaint. Now, has anybody been there before? I have. Okay, I was there last week about five times. All right, and he goes on. He says, because the enemy's voice, and I'm going to tell you, the enemy's voice can be loud. It can be threatening. It can be filled with lies. It's like a viper. But it doesn't matter if you know it's a lie or not. If it's addressed to you, you take it personally, and it cuts you. And he says, because of the pressure of the wicked, for they bring down disaster on me, and they harass me in anger. The enemy is always talking. The enemy has always got something to say. They bring down pressure. It brings down stress. I don't like stress. I don't like anxiety. Now, anxiety is a result of stress, and how you're going to, it continues to flow through you. And the heaviness of stress is not good. And basically, it makes people have health issues. And he says, God, I got some of those. Now he's going to start expressing the feeling that he has. In verse 4, he says, my heart shudders within me. Because I'm going to tell you, there's times when your mind might be affected, but when it affects your heart, it's the heartbeat of your life. Not just the thinking pattern and the thinking process in your brain, but it is the heart piece. When you talk about your heart, it's all you, right? It's all you. He says, my heart shudders within me. Terrors and death sweep over me. Fear and trembling grip me. Horror has overwhelmed me. So sometimes it seems like in life something just came along. You're walking and something tripped you up for a minute and put you in a headlock, and it ain't letting go. And you're walking over like it's put you in a headlock. You want to know wrestling moves, you can talk to Phil. You get in one of them moves and you can't move. And that feels like life sometimes when it's got a hold of you and it's got that grip on you, and it's scary because you can't breathe, you can't move. You are under that pressure and under all of that. And he's saying, God, this is where I'm at. I'm at this place. And then he says, I said, if only I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and find rest. Far away I would flee. I would stay in the wilderness and I would hurry to my shelter from raging wind and through storm. What he's saying, he said, listen, I'm ready to run away. How many of y'all said that? I'm ready to run away. I'm ready to quit. I'm ready to run away. I'm done. Ain't nobody going to talk me out of it. I'm done. But here it is. This man takes it to God and he says, listen, God, I'm going to admit to myself. I'm going to admit to you today. I'm ready to run. I'm ready to go. This is too hard for me. I can't take it. I cannot take it. I want to go. I feel like I just want to run. I want to hide. And sometimes people just, they're so broken, we just want to quit. Because our heart is broken. Our heart has been cracked. And then he says, Lord, confuse and confound their language. Basically says, I don't want to hear it no more. And he says, and I see violence and strife. And because I'm telling you, when you are down and out and you feel like everything's got you in that headlock, you know what? When you got your head in that headlock, you're down here. You can't look. It's hard to look up, isn't it? So we see everything that's down here. We see everybody else is down here. And he begins and he says this. He says, not only do I want to run away, he says, I see violence and strife in the city. I see the problems all around. I see everybody's problems. Day and night, they make their rounds on its walls. Crime and trouble are within it. Destruction is inside it. And oppression and deceit never leave its marketplace. He says, I see the sin that's all around. I see it. I see all the junk that's in the world. And everybody's just living life. My home, my city, my place, everything is just heavy. It's just heavy, and I don't know if I can take it. And meanwhile, it's got you in a headlock, and you can't move. Now, I want to tell you, I cannot wrestle Phil. Phil would take me down now. I'm an old man. Phil would put me in a move, and I couldn't move. And if Phil would do that to me, and here's the thing. If somebody on the street would do that to me, I'd be angry. I'd fight back. I'd do what I could do it. And here's what the scripture says. This is the part that really is hard to look at. He says, now, it is not an enemy who insults me. He's saying, it's not somebody that I don't know. It's not somebody that is my enemy. But he says here, he says, otherwise I could bear it. I could take that. I could take the guy that don't like me. And he puts me in a headlock. It's not a foe who raises up against me. Otherwise, I could hide from him. I can go away. I could do that. But he says, but it is you, he says. It's a man who is my peer, my companion. He is my good friend. We used to have close. So he says, this is my friend. I look up and who's got me in the headlock? It's not somebody that I don't know. It's somebody that I do know. Now, I've been in ministry for over 25 years. 18 here, ministry, probably over 30. I have been in that situation several times. I don't like it. Let's just say I've been in it a few times. Not as much as I used to, but a few times. And when you look and you see that it's not somebody that you don't know that has you in a headlock, you can take that. You can take that hit. You can work through it. But it's when somebody that you do know, it's somebody that is a friend. He says, I can handle it if it wasn't somebody that I knew. But I know this guy. But it is you. He says, it's a man of my own peer. This is what I was telling you. I could handle it if it was somebody I didn't know. But if Phil come on and trip me up and mess me up and all that and put me in a head, one of them wrestling moves, I couldn't move. It would affect me, not just my physical, but it would affect my mind and it would affect my heart. I don't mean to be using you, but you were a wrestler. So anyway, in that move, and so my heart would be cracked, not just because I'm in that move, in that spot, but because he was a part of doing that. And he says this, he says, he's my companion, he is my good friend. That means we broke bread together. We shared things. And then he goes, we used to have close fellowship. We were buddies. We were close friends. We did things together. And I want to tell you right now, some of you, I know exactly what I'm talking about because it's, A friend can be a relative, and you went through that road, you went down there, and you could not believe that it was a part that they were a part of this whole problem. They turned their back on you, and not only are they not just, because you used to be able to share your heart with them, your pains and sufferings, they would pray with you, they would work through that, because I'm telling you, just because you say you're a Christian doesn't mean you can't be the one that's putting somebody in a headlock. This is the most heartbreaking thing. This is what we call betrayal. To be betrayed by someone that you love, someone that you cared. They even came to the part that says, we walked with the crowd and we went to the house of God. What they said is, we did church together. We did church together. We used to go to church together. We may have sang in the same choir together, sat in the same class. We prayed for each other at the altar. Now somebody has taken a turn and turned their life in the wrong direction, and now they are part of the other side. He says, and he says that, and he says, let death take them by surprise. Let them go down to Sheol alive, because evil is in their homes and within them. He's talking about teaching them a lesson. He says, because my friend has changed. My friend is against me, and it hurts deep. I'm deeply wounded. Has your heart ever been wounded? And I'm not talking to, and I know some of us have had relationships. Some people have been married before. They went through divorce. Other people have had big, major breakups. Those can be heartbreaking. But I'm talking about a friendship. I'm talking about those who have worked alongside of the Lord. And there's a differences come up. But there's one thing when you have a difference and you can actually separate if you need to separate. But there's another thing when you separate and the other one begins to attack. Can I tell you what that looks like? It's usually something that happens. It blows you away that it even happened. And it may have come from somebody else that's talking to you about it and you kind of like blew it off. But then it comes back to you and you had to hit it face on. And you may have talked about it. You may have tried to work it out. It didn't work out. It may have been a big argument, big fight. But the worst part of it is when you go to bed at night and you turn out the lights and you can't sleep because you're tossing and turning because you're having this same scenario over and over and over. Why? What in the world? I can't believe this. I can't believe that. This is what David's doing. He's talking to God about this. I believe many of the Psalms were written in the midnight hour. In the time when we don't have all the distractions of what's going on, because when you got problems, you can go to work and you can kind of forget it a little bit of it throughout the day, but you got to come home, and when everything gets still and quiet, it's going to pop right back up. He said, my friend's changed. He said, what am I going to do about all that? He says here in verse 14 or 16, he says, but I call to the Lord, and the Lord will save me. I complain and groan in the morning, and at noon, and at night, and he hears my voice. Why does he say that? He says that because your pain doesn't go away just because you said, Lord, and you prayed one time, and it's over with. When your heart is broken, it takes time to heal. Amen? It takes time to heal. I've told people this, and I don't mean to say it, but in ministry, I've had to learn, we've had to learn, my family's had to learn to grow some rhino skin, some thick skin, because people are going to say some things about you, your family, and ministry, and you got to be strong, and you got to be strong, and you got to be loving, but you just got to take the hits sometimes. You just got to take the hits. And he says, I complain, it's in the morning. It's in the noontime, it's in the night, it's not leaving me. But he says, I know the Lord hears my voice. Though many are against me, because you know what happens? When that person has got you in a headlock, they're always trying to get others to be a part of it. They're always looking for others to be a part of it. Have you ever had a family dispute and then one side wants to get people to pick a side? And somebody else is being broke. Here's the difference. When someone is being truthfully in the spirit, in the heart, you know they're true. And they're being broken. They're breaking right there. And then another one on the family wants to just talk about it. And bash. And laugh at the same time they're doing it. Listen, if your family's in pain, you need to be broken. There needs to be some brokenness. a part of it. But he says, many are against me. But he says, he will redeem me from my battle unharmed. Because I'm telling you, it is a battle. You can ignore it all you want. But if it's there and there's pain, you know, let me tell you, families can be so mean to one another. So gut-wrenching, nasty. I'm not going to call you. And then all of a sudden, next thing you know, you don't get the call, but you get a text that said everything you were just about, you were one of the worst people on the planet. And you don't even see an ounce of love in there. And they butcher you and they just tear you down. And the next thing you know, you notice when you walk around your other family members, nobody has to say anything, but you just know that you were talked about. Anybody get where I'm coming from? You walk in a room and you're like, why do I feel like I've just been, nobody wants to talk to me now. Everybody's giving me that fake smile. They're saying I'm going to be nice, I'm going to be kind, but they're not really. There's another agenda. They were just talking about you because there's many that are against you. But he says, he will redeem me and my battle unharmed. That's where our faith and our hope is in God. Listen, your best friend. And I struggle with calling God my friend. I struggle with it because I put him more as the creator, master, all those other awesome titles. But there is a part that Scripture tells us that there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. So I got to grasp that verse sometimes. And I got to say, there is a friend. There is a friend that sticks closer than her brother. There is a friend that will be with me through the midnight hour. There is a friend. And I know that many of us say our spouse is our best friend, and they should be. But again, your spouse is human. There is one friend that will stick with you and has the power to redeem and to get us through the battle unharmed. So he says, and God, the one enthroned from long ago, will hear and will humiliate them because they do not change and they do not fear God. Have you noticed that those who attack you, even if they're Christians, they don't fear God? There are scriptures that tell us the beginning of wisdom is to fear God. The beginning of knowledge is to fear is God. And when we attack people, and when we put people in a headlock, and our Christian friends, and basically we have lost that fear of God. We need to be cautious of when we do that. He says, my friend, in verse 20, my friend acts violently against those at peace with him. Have you noticed that sometimes when you're trying to talk to them, they don't want to listen? Have you ever talked to somebody, and it doesn't matter what you say? It doesn't matter what you say, they've already got their mind made up. There's nothing that you can say that's going to help the situation. They're already waiting for a break in your talking to attack. Because they just want to speak. That's what they want to do. So he says, my friend acts violently against those at peace with him. He violates his covenant. You know, we kind of skip that part when we look at this chapter. He violates his covenant. How many promises have best friends made? How many promises have friendships made? Man, I'll be there. It doesn't matter what. I will be there with you for whatever you're going through. You can call me anytime. You ever get that? You can call me anytime, day and night. I'll be there for you. That's a broken covenant when you say that. And you don't do it, and you don't keep it. This is why friendships are hard to have. This is why friendships are hard, because people get upset, and they do what we talked about earlier, where he says, I feel like running away. Give me wings like eagles so I can fly out of this home. You know, and so some people do that. Some people do that. But he violates his covenant. He broke his covenant. His buttery words are smooth. Here's the other guy. But he says his buttery words are smooth, but war is in his heart. Basically, what he's saying is when he's around you or she's around you, they butter you up. They speak kindly to you, but as soon as you walk out of the room, they butcher you. They cut you down. He says his buttery words are smooth, but war is in his heart. His words are softer than oil, but they are drawn swords. He said, my friend's against me. Hope is... You get to this point where hope, your hope in working it out seems like it's over. You can't work through it. Have you ever had a friendship that was done? You ever had a friendship that was just, it got to a point, it got to a place where it's done? You know how you know when you got a good friend? When you can disagree and still truly walk away from that disagreement and truly love each other just as you did when you first walked into the room. When one of them says something or you say something that you shouldn't have and you call them up and you apologize for it. Or you say, hey man, that was my bad, I'm sorry. Or hey, I'm really sorry I said that, I shouldn't have said that. And the other person actually takes it and actually really forgives and says, it's all right, thank you. Most people can't do that. This is why you don't have friends, your high school friends anymore. This is why we don't have our college friends anymore. This is why we don't have those other friends anymore. This is why our families are... How many families in here have broken relationships? I'm going to be the first to lift them up. Because we don't know how to act toward each other. Because we don't know how to forgive toward each other. And it's hard, but sometimes, as I teach sometimes, you got to put people outside of your circle. You got to keep putting them out there so you can love. Listen, you can love people from a distance. Sometimes it's safer sometimes to not let those people in your inner circle. I've got a couple people in my inner circle, and then I got the next circle. There's a few there, and then there's a few there. Basically, you get to my inner circle, you know everything about me. Very few do. But right there after that, there's a few that knows some stuff about me, and then out there. But then there's some family that I've had to do this. Listen, I love you. I got to put them out here. I love them. I'm going to see them. But when it comes into conversation pieces and it comes into things, we have to make sure that, man, listen, if we start talking, it's going to rise up into a big fight because we can't get past the basics of what a real relationship and friendship is. Because everybody's got to be right. Or that one person's always got to be right. And when they're right, they're going to butcher anybody down that stands in front of their way. Doesn't matter. I'm right. Anybody know why like that? They always got to be right. They always got to be right. Everything they do, they have to be right. And it doesn't matter, even if it puts you down. Then there's those other friends that have done some things. And it wasn't what they said, it's what they did. And it violated your friendship. And your mind can go in all kinds of places in that area. But there's some areas and some lines that you just can't go back over. Once something has been done, you can forgive, but you have to put a protective circle around you. It doesn't mean, and some of those are because if it harms your marriage, if it harms your family, and they've asked you can love on them, but you still have to make sure that you're going to have some safety devices up. You can work through that. But your friendship will never be the same. Sometimes your friendships will never be the same. Anybody that feels like they've always got to be right is wrong more than they think. And if you got... friends become aggressive. Hopes of working out seems hopeless. Your friend is against you. You've got more than one. Now it started with one person against you. Now you got several against you, or you got half your family clan against you. Your pain is all day, all night, all afternoon. And the writer tells us this one piece on how we can get through this, and this is the part that we struggle with. We say we do it, but we don't. And it says, cast your burdens on the Lord, and He will sustain you. Sustaining means that He's going to hold you where you're at. You're going to be okay. But right now you feel like you're taking, like you're underwater. You're taking in. You can't get a breath. But God's going to sustain you. There's sometimes God just doesn't fix it at the moment. You've got to go through it. But we need to learn to cast that burden, because it is a burden to carry that weight. You know, the problem with Christianity is, I've heard this more than from many people, I don't have a friend. And in the church, we should have all kinds of friends, but we don't. Because we judge one another. We look at each other in ways that we shouldn't. We want to say things, and or we just talk to the same people, and we never open up to talking to other people. And sometimes people are introverts. I get that. Sometimes people are introverts, and others are extroverts. But here's the thing. We should have friendship in the church. We should have friendships in the church. And some people say, well, nobody in church talks to me, so I'm going to go over it. Listen, it takes two to talk. Sometimes if you're thirsty, you go to the kitchen and you get a pop, or you go get a bottle of water. If you're hungry, you go to the stove and you pull some food out. There's an effort that you've got to make some friendships. Amen? And here's the problem, though. Sometimes we've been hurt so much that we don't want to trust anybody anymore. And I understand that. Because we've been cut so much in our heart. And listen, how many of you have scars on your heart? Which means that your heart has ripped and has been broken, but it's healed, but it's starting to get calloused toward friendships. I want to ask you a question. Do you make a good friend? We're talking about what friends do for us, but do you make a good friend? Would you be a good friend for others? Or would you be a good friend? Or you jump on the bandwagon when others are talking about somebody? He says, cast all your burdens on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. Listen, God is with you. He is always with you. You got to experience those scriptures. Listen, I've been that part where people's like, man, I walked into a pastor's meeting one time, and they said, here comes the holy roller. I was just started pastoring. That was a joke to them. I was like, what? I'm just pastoring, getting around these guys that are a little bit older than me. And they turn around and say, yo, here's the holy roller. I'm like, what the world? I shared one story the month before. I'm like, lock, key, done. Threw it out in the parking lot. I'm not going to talk about that topic in front of these guys ever again. Now, I didn't do that, but with those guys, I did. I didn't talk to them, that specific table guys, because they just didn't get it. They were talking about me before I got there. And then they were talking about those things. And I was like, you know what? I don't need none of that, don't you? I'll just get on. I'll just say, Lord, give me some eagle wings. I'm out of here. But that's not who I am. I just went, Lord, I don't understand it. I'm going to walk out of here. Now, I've been asked to preach or teach on that topic in other churches. But here it is. There's a moment where I just wanted to walk away. I was like, wow, the guys that were supposed to be there for me was the ones talking about me. So I've learned to do what the scripture says. Cast all your burdens on Him. He says God will bring them down to the pit. Now here it is, talking about really nasty enemies, down to the pit of destruction, men of bloodshed and treachery. This is actually an enemy, a friend that became an enemy, and they were actually sword backing, fighting one flip sides. And will not live out their days, but I will trust in You, Lord. Let me tell you, David was a man, he was a king. He left his kingdom because his son Absalom took it over. His own son rebelled against him and took the kingdom over. David would not fight him face to face. David left and took everything that he had, and he walked out of the kingdom that God called him to be king of. And his son Absalom took over. Now, Absalom didn't last very long, because God allowed him to be taken out later. And then David went back up into the palace. But here I want to tell you, there was nothing that was so heart-wrenching for David than to watch his son do that. Now, David's standing there one day. David heard that his son got killed. David stayed in the palace, and he was like, oh my gosh. And one of his commander of his armies came in and says, David, King David, if you don't get out there and you tell these men they did a good job and won this battle, they put their blood, their life, and their families on the line. If you don't get out there and tell them and wave to them and tell them that they did a good job, you will not have an army in the morning. They will all abandon you for what the men did for you. You're still sulking over those. So there's a thing that, and then he gets up and he comes up and he tells the guys, great, and then they stayed with him. But I want to tell you, there's times when you can sulk too much in that problem. You got to take the bull by the horns, and you got to take care of business. Sometimes you got to wipe the tears away. Lord, through this, you may not get through it today, but you're processing and progressing through it. Sometimes it takes time. So we see this story of a man who says, Lord, listen to me, Lord, I've got a problem. I can't take it. My friend has betrayed me, one that I've entrusted things, my heart's desires, the stories of my heart, how I feel about things. My friend has betrayed me, talking about me, got others to go against me, now is acting violent against me, speaks only negative things. Lord, my heart is broken. And he says this, I have a friend that is destroying my life. And the writer tells us that God is the only answer to get through it. Now I know friendships don't always last. Sometimes you're at a place and you need to be friends. I can tell you a perfect example is when you get deployed overseas and you're in a situation and you got to work with some guys and it's your life on the line, their life on the line, and you become best friends in that hole or that vehicle. You're doing patrols. You need each other. I got your back. You got my back. And when it's all said and done, many of them come back to the States and they don't want to see each other anymore. Over there they did, but over here they don't, because they said, listen, every time I see you, you remind me of what we had to do over there. But that's not what we're talking about. What we're talking is those friendships that have been toxic, those friends who have turned on us and has betrayed us. There has been some people in the church that I've had to step back and I've had to ask, Lord, I have a bad heart. I have some thoughts about some things. I have some thoughts about some individuals. Some that have spoken words from this pulpit when I wasn't here that spoke negatively of the church. Others that things have done and affected my family. But here it is. My relationship on this earth is not because of you. It is because of Him. I do what I do because of Him. We do what we do because of Him. Not because of you, because people will let you down. Scott, amen. People will let you down. Scott has been with me since day one. We've seen it. We had to work through it, and we processed through it. And our hearts have been broken. When keys have been given to us, because they were not just in disagreement, but were just anguish and anger, keys have been given back to us through meetings we didn't like. We didn't want those meetings, but they've happened. Because, listen, it breaks your heart to see people walk away from your life because of angerness, bitterness, listen, jealousy. There's no room in the church for jealousy. There's no room in the church for envy. There's no room in the church for gossip. But we have a lot of friends that have used those things against us in the church, but also outside the church. And unfortunately, many of them have been church members, family members, close friends and acquaintances. But the closer you get to the heart that person was, the more painful that it is. I'm going to conclude with this story. Jesus was heading to the cross. Jesus knew that in John chapter 17, he prayed that this cup might pass from me. But not my will be done, but thy will be done. Jesus knew what was in store for him. The closer he got to the cross, the more people that left him. The more people that said, oh, I will go all the way to death with you. And the friends. And we even see that Peter even pulled out a sword and cut a guy's ear off for his friend. But nothing was as heartbreaking, I believe, as then when Jesus was in there, arrested, illegally interrogated, parts of his beard were pulled out. They slapped him and hit him and said, hey, prophesy, who struck you? And they're getting ready to take him into the Roman area. They're pulling him out of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all them from the Jewish council. And they're pulling him out. And in that fire ring out there, there's a man that his name is Peter. And they add, hey, you're one of those guys. And the Bible says that Peter and Jesus' eyes locked. that would be like, hey, that's it. And I would say, Phil, that guy, I don't know him. And two people that knew each other, eyes locked, and one denied the other. You think that's betrayal? Peter heard that rooster crow, and what'd he do? He ran off, and he cried. The Bible says he wept bitterly. He knew what he did. But here's the cool part. There's nobody that's a better friend than Jesus. Jesus said on the cross, forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they do. And he forgave them for everything. Everything, from the betrayal to the nails in his hands and everything. I can't find a friend on earth like that. I can't find a friend on earth like that that'll take every piece of my junk and deal with it and forgive me for it. But there is one in heaven. And his name is Jesus Christ. He'll never betray you. He'll never forsake you. He'll work with you. He'll lead you. He'll guide you. He'll forgive you. And he'll bless you. But he will not forsake you if you're his. So there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. But tonight I know that some of us have had friends that we kind of put back in our memory bank, and maybe we have some family right now that we're struggling with, because you know the difference when your flesh is speaking, when your flesh just says, I'm done with them. I just want to be done with them. But there's a part in the spirit that says, no, you got to work it out. You got to smile when they're not smiling. You got to forgive when they won't forgive. You got to love them when they say they love you, but really, you don't even know if they really even care. You don't even know. They say they love you, but through their teeth, you think that they don't even like you, that they hate you. Do you know the church has hypocrites in it? That's what a hypocrite is. There's a little bit of hypocrite in every one of us, to be honest with you. I hate to say it, but I got a little bit in me. You know why? Because I'm human. You're human. I want to be a good friend to those who want to be my friend. And I would probably say that in the past, I've not always been the best friend, but I want to be a better friend as life goes on. I want to be a deeper friend to more. I want to be able to trust people more. But sometimes trust comes hard because we've been burnt so many times. Maybe tonight you want to trust Jesus for the first time in your life. Maybe tonight that you got something that you want to be like David and call out and say, Lord, I got a complaint. It's a complaint about what's going on in my life. Somebody hurt me. Somebody's hurting me now. Somebody's saying things to me about me that ain't true. Nothing angers us more when somebody says something that ain't true. Or when somebody talks about our spouse. Or our kids. You know, as a parent, you'll defend your kids even when they're wrong. You know that? That right, Seth? We'll defend our kids even when they're wrong. Let's go ahead and stand. We'll give an opportunity for you tonight.